engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the book of Leviticus. The Lord said to Moses, "These are the festivals of the Lord, by which you shall celebrate at their proper time with a sacred assembly. The Passover of the Lord falls on the 14th day of the first month at the evening twilight. The 15th day of this month is the Lord's Feast of Unleavened Bread. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first of these days you shall hold a sacred assembly and do no sort of work. On each of the 7 days you shall offer an oblation to the Lord. Then on the 7th day you shall again hold a sacred assembly and do no sort of work." The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the children of Israel and tell them, 'When you come into the land which I am giving you and reap your harvest, you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, who shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, that it may be acceptable for you. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall do this. Beginning with the day after the Sabbath, the day on which you shall bring the wave offering sheaf, you shall count 7 full weeks. And then, on the day after the 7th week, the 50th day, you shall present the new cereal offering to the Lord. The 10th of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement, when you shall hold a sacred assembly and mortify yourselves and offer an oblation to the Lord. The 15th day of this 7th month is the Lord's Feast of Booths, which shall continue for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a sacred assembly, and you shall do no sort of work. For 7 days you shall offer an oblation to the Lord, and on the 8th day you shall again hold a sacred assembly and offer an oblation to the Lord. On that solemn closing, you shall do no sort of work. These, therefore, are the festivals of the Lord, on which you shall proclaim a sacred assembly, and offer, as an oblation to the Lord, burnt offerings and cereal offerings, sacrifices and libations, as prescribed for each day." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sing with joy to God our help. Sing with joy to God our help. Take up a melody and sound the timbrel, the pleasant harp and the lyre. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon on our solemn feast. Sing with joy to God our help. For it is a statute in Israel, an ordinance of the God of Jacob, who made it a decree for Joseph when he came forth from the land of Egypt. Sing with joy to God our help. There shall be no strange god among you, nor shall you worship any alien god. I, the Lord, am your God, who led you forth from the land of Egypt. Sing with joy to God our help. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came to his native place and taught the people in their synagogue. They were astonished and said, "Where did this man get such wisdom and mighty deeds? Is he not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother named Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Are not his sisters all with us? Where did this man get all this?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place and in his own house." And he did not work many mighty deeds there because of their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Is he not the carpenter's son? The son, as it was thought, of Joseph. Yes, Joseph was there as the father of the household, but not the biological father of Jesus, of course. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. But nevertheless, Joseph, Mary, Jesus were a family, the Holy Family. And Joseph is the quiet one. No word of his is recorded in the Bible. And he apparently wasn't there when the events of Jesus' public ministry and especially his death and resurrection unfolded. We don't see Joseph there anymore. So tradition is that he died much earlier. But boy, did he have an important role. As we see, especially in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, and in those infancy narratives, and Joseph essentially is the savior of the savior. I mean, we know that nobody can do anything except in God. It's all God's power and God's doing. But Joseph is given the role to protect God. Usually we turn to God and we say, Lord, protect us. God went to Joseph and said, protect me. Because remember, Herod sought the child. Herod, hearing that this newborn king of the Jews had arrived, he and all Jerusalem with him were troubled. It's amazing how we can be disturbed by a child, right? Afraid of a baby. And hence we have the culture of death, the culture of abortion, which is built on a culture of fear. But Herod sought to kill the child and carried out the slaughter of the infants in and around Bethlehem. Joseph saved Jesus, saved Mary, took them to Egypt, and then, staying there until the threat had passed, and always following the command of the angel, took them back out of Egypt. Out of Egypt I have called my son, was the prophecy fulfilled by that event. It reminds us of another Joseph in Egypt. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs, gave birth to the 12 tribes then of Israel, and one of them was Joseph. Now, Joseph's brothers were envious of him and sold him into slavery. So he ends up in Egypt, but as providence would have it, he ends up becoming the governor of Egypt. And then a famine breaks out. But Pharaoh had all grain stored up, and so they ended up feeding the world, including Joseph's family, his father and his brothers. They ended up coming there, not knowing still that it was Joseph. We read this in the book of Genesis. Read the story again. It's so moving. And Joseph ends up saving his family from famine. And he reveals himself to them. It's one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament. So moving. Joseph can't restrain himself anymore, and his father is there, his brothers, and he tells them, I am Joseph, whom you sold into slavery. Look how what you intended for evil has been used by God for good, for the saving of many lives. Bread, grain, coming out of Egypt, two times. Once of old, saving really the 12 tribes of Israel from famine, and then the bread of life, entrusted not only to Mary, entrusted to Joseph. Out of Egypt I have called my son. I have protected my son through your hands, O Joseph. And now, having protected him, I offer him to the world as the bread of life. We can't forget Joseph. Don't let Joseph's quietness, don't let Joseph's humility make you forget him. As Pharaoh said to the people, go to Joseph, he'll distribute the grain. The Lord says again, go to Joseph, the Joseph, the husband of Mary, to lead you to the bread of life. You know, there have been prophecies in the church. I was with Father Don Calloway yesterday, and other priests and lay people at the Catholic Marketing Conference, and Father Don was talking about this very thing that I'm preaching to you about now, how Joseph, through many prophecies over the centuries, was pointed to. And the prophecies said, you know, there will come a time of great turmoil and confusion in the church and in the world. Well, today certainly qualifies. And there will be an age of Saint Joseph. And people will turn to Joseph and there will be a great renewal. Remember, just like turning to Mary and the many prophecies about that, this is not separate from Jesus. I know some of you are watching are not of the Catholic faith, and so a lot of this might sound new or unusual to you, but don't think we're substituting for Jesus here. It's just the opposite. The very power and the praiseworthiness of going to Joseph is precisely because he brings us to Jesus. Same thing with Mary and all the saints. It's Jesus. It's Jesus who's the only Savior. But Jesus gives us many ways to get to him, many helps in getting to him, many reminders of how to get to him, many ways to be saved from the distractions of the world that will put us, that would pull us away from him entirely. But no, we have the example of Joseph, and what an example he is for the pro-life movement. Again, as we were reflecting yesterday with Father Don and others, Joseph saved Jesus from the tyranny of Herod, the bloodthirsty king. There's a Herod today. The abortion industry, Planned Parenthood trying to kill the child. And John Paul II said in the Gospel of Life, an attack on a human life is an attack on God. A rejection of a human life is a rejection of Jesus. The Herod of our day, Planned Parenthood, and the other parts of the abortion movement are striking in the same bloodthirsty way against the child Jesus, against the church. Go to Joseph. In the pro-life effort, is this not the example of a man who stood by his wife even amidst such confusion? Remember, Scripture says Joseph was intending to put her away quietly, and she was found to be with child, and it wasn't through him. But God reassured him. No, this is a unique plan going on here. Just keep her. Keep her. You are called to this special role. And Joseph is the example of that strong, ever-present father who too often is absent today. And that's a big, big reason for abortion. A lot of the analysis that is done about why people get abortions shows that in half the cases, the mother is saying she got the abortion because of the lack of support of a partner. And often fathers make a mistake of thinking, well, I have to defer to her and say this is her choice. You know, they bought the constant mantra of our society, oh, it's a woman's issue, it's a woman's issue, it's a woman's issue, it's a woman's choice. It's a man's issue. To be able to stand there and defend your child, it's a man's issue. To be able to stand there with a woman who is afraid, pregnant, terrified, confused, isolated, unsure what to do, desperate. It's a man's role to stand there with her and say, we can do this. I am with you. We're going to get through this, and I'm here for you and for your child. Now, that doesn't mean that every time an out-of-wedlock pregnancy occurs that the solution is that they get married. Very often, it's not the solution at all that they get married. We're not talking about marriage. We're talking about the father of that baby staying there, not running away in some kind of selfish collapse of fear and despair. Oh, I'm getting away from here. Yeah, too many of them do that, and they bear responsibility then for the blood of that child who gets aborted, because their running away increased the isolation, which increases the temptation to abort. Some of them feel, these fathers, that, well, they have to defer and say, oh, well, this is a woman's choice. Oh, I'll support you in your decision. But why should it be just her decision? Why isolate her further? Because that's how it's received by her. It's like, what do you mean you're leaving this completely up to me now to figure out? We conceived this child. Not just I. See, the fallacy of the whole abortion mentality, oh, it's just the woman's choice. It wasn't just the woman's choice to conceive that child in the first place. It wasn't just the woman's doing that that child came about. Why should she be left alone in the decision of what to do next? It is precisely the support of that father that is so needed. Joseph gives the model, just as Mary gives the model of the young woman not planning to have a child, but all of a sudden faced with a pregnancy. And she says, fiat, let it be done to me according to your will. Not my choice, my body, my choice. Let it be done to me according to your word, O Lord and giver of life. So Joseph too, gives that example of the father's role. He stayed with her. He protected her and the baby. He gave courage, strength. Fathers, we need you. And we need those fathers who have made the wrong choices in the past to step up now and find the healing and the forgiveness, because there's more for you to do. There's more for your life, your vocation, your ability to affirm and protect and nurture. We need Joseph. Absent fathers, not only in the context of abortion, but in so many other contexts, are the cause of so many problems in our world, in our families, in our society. We need the fathers. We need Joseph. Let's turn to him for protection, example, inspiration, confidence. Go to Joseph. He will bring you to Jesus. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.